Welcome to Geeks On, a show created by geeks for geeks, covering topics that geeks like to talk about. This week, it's Geeks On, International House of Geeks. For more information and news we talk about in the show, go to our website at www.geekson.com. Hey, yes. Everybody.
Hello, my geeklings.
It's another episode of Geeks On.
Another one. Right after the other one. It's like...
Right after the other one, right before that.
It's like a pattern.
It's like yes. We're back on schedule.
No.
We're trying... Well, almost.
I would see, now you've screwed it up. It's like saying, hey, look, we're not in traffic.
Exactly.
Where's all these cars come from?
You just jacked it. Yep. Right there.
Damn it. Welcome, everybody.
It's another week of Geeks On. Did anybody else notice that it was just the weirdest news week in the entire world?
What do you mean? Really find news.
Well, there were the women who were straight out like villains out of one of Don's RPGs. You didn't
what
see
the, women.
There I were, have no idea what you're talking
there were
about.
These two
talking about the arsenic and old lace women.
Yeah, they're two women. They're septuagenarians. They basically took out these multi-million dollar insurance plans on homeless men. And
oh,
then
this is like old news.
No,
like,
no, no. This
it,
was
it, 2 years old.
No,
news.
No, no. This was a week ago.
No, actually, this is a little older than
is it?
Is.
Yeah. Oh well, they were just talking about it on NPR and a bunch of other things. But but basically, they took these homeless men and they drove over them a series of times.
I'm getting hot.
And yeah,
nice.
I mean, they killed them and then got $3 million from the insurance plan and
naughty killer grannies.
Yeah,
love
I mean,
it.
It's just and then there was the guy who was the head of Formula One who was caught in the Nazi orgy sex ring.
Yep.
Oh, I did hear about that.
That was like. What?
What makes it Nazi?
But well, he literally was greeted at the door by women in Nazi costume who then beat him and treated him like he was part of a concentration
and
camp.
And he spoke with a German
but
accent
that was
through
like
the entire experience.
That's just a shtick. It wasn't like a real Nazi.
No, it wasn't like a real... But they're like combing his head for like weevils and lice and like we will shave you and it's foul. It's foul.
Wow.
Oddly enough, Matt watched the entire thing.
Yes, twice.
Wow, that's a weird fantasy.
And then I went in and, you know, I was just trying to check for naughty details.
Hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's just nasty stuff, and that should be, you know, taken away.
I was wondering why you upgraded to that new T3 modem.
Yes.
I was wondering about that.
Faster streaming.
The porn wasn't coming fast enough.
Yeah, but it keeps on buffering. It's like 23, 33, 53. Come on.
Hi, my name is Aaron.
Hey.
I'm kind of stunned. I have no idea what to say.
All right. Hi, my name is Aaron Hendricks, and I'm a graphic designer and filmmaker here in Hollywood, and I'm a geek.
Hi, my name is Pete, and I am a screenwriter here in Los Angeles, and I am a geek.
Did you say you didn't understand what buffering means?
No, no.
I've ruined Don.
He had a certain expression on his face when he said it.
Right. Oh. Hi, I'm Matt King. I'm an actor here in Hollywood, and I, too, am a geek.
My name is Donald Marshall, and I have the giggles. And I'm a video game professional and writer here in sunny Hollywood, and I, too, am a geek.
Hello, yes. Everybody.
Yes. Hello. How was your geek week, gentlemen?
Geek week was damn good. I beat Rainbow Six, too.
Yay.
Yeah, even after Aaron was a hypocrite. I totally want to go back and re-edit and get some of his snippets from past episodes.
How is Aaron a hypocrite?
Because he was like, get on Rainbow Six. Well, you late adopter, you're never going to get it. Yeah, when are you going to get the game? When we're all finished with it? And then, yeah, and then Aaron was on once.
No, I've been on several times. But I haven't played through the single player. Or the
Aaron and I are pleading work right now.
Yeah, that's understandable. But you shouldn't talk smack then.
I'm a little disappointed. The one video game I've bought in like the past 6 months at this point, I went to buy Bully, but they were sold out. So,
is that out now?
Yeah. For
it's been out for a while, right?
For the 360. Huh. It's been out for a little while now.
And the patch is out that makes it so it doesn't crash every
exactly.
5 minutes.
But they were sold out, so I remembered Lisa was pitching this video game, Goldsept Saga.
Yeah, she got me to buy that, too.
Yeah, so I'm like, okay, well, you know, she gave it a big thumbs up. I'll give it a shot. I brought it home, and it's like Cardcaptor's Light. It aspires to be Pokemon.
It's like
Pokemon meets Monopoly.
It's like Magic the Gathering meets Monopoly in a way where you collect cards, you build decks, you've got these...
It lacks the complexity of magic. I can't even give it that. You know?
But then it has this like roll the dice, move around the board bullshit thing.
Are there any good Magic the Gathering video games? Because as much as I should probably go through my deck and
there's
sell
Magic
my Sarah
the Gathering
Angel.
Online, you know, there's Magic the Gathering Online, which is just Magic the Gathering. You play it with people online all around the world. I may be wrong, but I seem to remember when the big selling points for it were you pay full price for virtual cards online.
Right.
But if you ever decide to shut down your account, they send you hard copies of all the cards that you've got.
Huh. And then you can sell them on eBay.
Yes.
Huh.
I actually don't know anyone who... I know tons of people who have Magic the Gathering cards now, but I don't know anyone who's actively buying them anymore.
Hmm. I should check. I should have probably sold it.
You know, I've never played that game.
Really? You'd like it.
We have to fix that, because it is actually a genuinely fun game.
It is a genuinely fun game.
I saw one start getting worked up about it, and I just avoided it, because of like,
it's a money sink. I mean, if you get addicted to that, I've seen people sink so much money into it.
I did Vampire.
But people were getting worked up about HeroClix, and you went out and bought a bunch of those.
You only bought a few.
Well, no, I have that Mech Warrior one, and the reason why I have so many is because there was a store going out of business, and it was 80% off of everything in the store, including the light fixtures, and I mean, they were selling everything. In fact, the guy in front of me bought the cash register, and they had to take the money out and use a calculator for my purchase because they literally bought everything. And so I bought all these boxes for like 75 cents and a dollar, and so I just... bought everything.
That's
so that's the reason why I have all those crazy miniatures, but that's the reason why I have the Mech Warrior HeroClix.
Excellent.
Mm-hmm. That's why.
It's the HeroClix games are not.
No, you don't have to explain anymore. We believe you.
I totally buy it.
And we don't judge you.
No, we're not judging at all.
I get it, Aaron. It's fine.
But after playing, the system is not great. The HeroClix system is not good.
Have you ever seen the way he touches them?
Yeah, it's true.
He just keeps clicking back and forth.
Yeah, it's just a little bit of adoration all in one tiny little package.
It gets a little disturbing after the first half hour, though.
Yeah.
All
right, so.
By the way, I think I mentioned it last week, I finished Half-Life 2.
Ooh.
And
it's like two games inside 2 months. That is got to be a new record.
I finished more than you claim I do. And I'm starting episode 1, which starts out great, by the way. In fact, I think it starts out better... Right now, I'm playing probably about an hour and a half into it.
So you're playing them in reverse?
No. So Half-Life 2 came out, and then these episodics started coming out, which were like little 8-hour games.
Okay.
So episode.
And then what are they? They just add-ons that you can buy?
Yeah, they're like little sequels.
Cool.
And they're almost like television shows where they were supposed to come out a little more regularly. I think they realized.
What do you do? Just download them to your hard drive?
Well, it comes in Orange Box, it depends. If you have a PC, you can download them.
Right.
Orange Box, which came out last year around Christmas time. Has Team Fortress 2.
Right.
Has Portal.
Right.
Half-Life 2.
Mm-hmm.
Half-Life 2 Episode 1 and Half-Life 2 Episode 2. This is like the best bundle in the world. It's like $40 and you got like 5 games. So anyway, Episode 1 is a little more... I feel like it's more story-driven, interactive with other characters. Like, I feel like I'm playing a part in a story a little bit more than Half-Life 2 because I'm interacting with some of the non-player characters. Half-Life 2, every once in a while, you'd run around alone. Every once in a while, you'd come up with a group of people. They would talk to you, and then you would go off alone again. So far in Episode 1, you're with somebody... the entire time, and she's constantly talking to you and interacting with you, and you kind of feel like
you're married.
Yeah, kind of, in a way. Anyway, so it kind of has it's kind of like having that cutscene, but you're playing through the whole thing in a way. So that's pretty cool.
Excellent.
Yeah.
I've been rereading the Sandman comic book series, which I haven't read since I was in college or slightly after. I forgot how amazing that...
They're fantastic.
I just forgot how the quality of these books. To our listeners who don't really read comics, I do recommend the Sandman series highly. People tend to look down on it simply because it is a comic book.
Right.
But I hate to admit it, but the first few books do have kind of superhero content.
A little bit.
It's not so much to make it a superhero comic, but it's very much a mature, sophisticated, really thoughtful comic book series.
I have it in the collector's edition, which if you buy is beautiful. Mm-hmm. It looks like you have sort of the Necronomicon sitting on your shelf.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's cool.
Without the human art's flesh.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I've also been reading 100 Bullets as I go through
that's
that.
Such I've been waiting for somebody to turn it into a TV series. It would be such a brilliant TV series.
Yeah, I think it would be.
But
perhaps a little violent.
A little violent. So Showtime.
Yeah, or HBO.
Yeah. It would be
good point.
Stunning.
I don't know how. That's another. Is it superhero?
Not really. It's sort of spies. Okay. It's your given.
The basic premise is people. This guy shows up, Agent Graves.
Graves.
Agent Graves shows up into different people's lives. New character. Every story arc. And gives them a gun with 100 bullets and says these bullets are untraceable and will be recognized by law enforcement as something they should not track.
Yeah.
Mm. You can do whatever you want with these 100 bullets. Put them wherever they
need to
be.
The gun, same thing. You will never know what
he will ever
know.
So it's kind
of like
Agatha
Christie / Twilight Zone / Night Gallery.
But there's a conspiracy theory element to it too.
Mm-hmm.
You
don't know who Graves is and why certain people tend to, you know, go from, you know, him breaking them out of their lives and then suddenly they have these memory flashbacks and
stuff. And like some you find out like he wants them to kill their target. Some you find out they're just a message.
And could in one episode, could you go through the story arc for one, or would you have to do?
Yes, you could.
You could.
You could go through the story arc easily in one episode.
Hmm.
It's a great.
Might lighten them up, but I mean, you could do some 2-episode parts too.
Yeah,
you
know, as well. Yeah.
Interesting,
but it sort of begs to be sort of a, you know, a continuing soap opera style.
It would be brilliant. All right, let's get on it, Peter.
What's my geek week?
No. Let's get on the 100 bullets, man.
No, let's do it. Yeah.
And why don't we move on to news?
All right, who's doing news first?
All right, so I got a really, really cool one, and it blows me
Martian
away.
Martian spam?
Yeah, kind of. it deserves to be in the Weekly World News. There's a hypnotist thief that's being hunted down in Italy. All right?
Please.
Well, he is, and they have video of this guy doing what he does on the store cams. They've caught him doing it, and they're hunting him down. Police in Italy have issued footage of a man who is suspected of hypnotizing supermarket checkout staff to hand over money from their cash registers.
It doesn't work that way.
He does.
Actually, it does.
My mom is
Aaron's
mom's
a hypnotherapist,
and hypnosis is not mind control.
No, but you see, here's the thing. You can't make someone do something they wouldn't normally do with hypnosis. Like, you can't say, here's a gun, go shoot your family.
Right.
But what you can say is, here's a squirt gun. Wouldn't it be fun to go and squirt your friends? And then the person thinks it's a really squirt gun. They would go and they would shoot them.
All right, continue with the story.
Well, this guy is doing it to people who are used to giving over.
I'm gonna call shenanigans on this.
I'm with Aaron on this one.
All right, keep going.
But in every case, the last thing the staff reportedly remember is the thief leaving over and saying, "Look into my eyes," before finding the till empty. The latest incident captured on closed caption TV, he targeted a bank in Anacona in northern Italy and then calmly walked out. A female bank clerk reportedly handed over nearly 800 euros. He's not hitting massive amounts, but
that's kind of crazy because it's not, you can't just hypnotize someone by saying look into my eyes.
No.
It takes more than that.
The cashier who was shown the video footage has no memory of the incident, according to Italian media, and only released what had happened when she saw the money missing.
Maybe he has those little spinny eyes with the squirrels in them. That does it every time.
I think it's more likely that there are a whole bunch of clerks across Europe right now who are maybe $200 or $300 richer. That's all I'm saying.
A closed caption from the bank showed her apparently being hypnotized by the man. According to reports, Italian police believe the suspect could be of Indian or North African extraction.
Hmm. Maybe he has some.
He's a supervillain.
He is a supervillain. He is absolutely. He's Mesmero. I think he should be one of the reals or one of the nemesis of the reals.
I am hypnotic.
Yeah. No, wait, but it has to be with an IQUE.
Now, I have a really disappointing news story, actually. The headline is so exciting, and then you read the article and you realize what irresponsible journalism is.
Okay.
The headline is, "Violent Video Games Proven Not to Lessen Violent Instincts in People."
Okay.
Right? And then when you actually read the article, the video game they tested was World of Warcraft.
Okay, so they're just too busy.
Yeah, so basically...
they're just too busy eating nachos to...
What this study found was that of, like, I think it was, like, 200 people between the ages of 12 and 83. When these people played World of Warcraft, the most common result was a feeling of peace, a feeling of relaxation, and possibly a little bit of tiredness. But no increase in violence or aggressive tendencies.
Yeah.
You're ragging on the journalists or the scientists?
The journalists are making a logical jump that, oh, then this proves that violent video games lessen violent tendencies.
Right.
But obviously they haven't played World of Warcraft.
What were the scientists, what were they getting?
They were saying that World of Warcraft reduced, resulted in this.
Well, also
the journalists just stepped it up a rank saying violent video games. Now, I am personally of the opinion that violent video games can have a calming effect. You know, after I play my fighting video games, I zen out. You know, I feel much better about the world.
Some steam. That is true.
Yeah. I feel less aggressive after playing
them. There's a big difference
them.
Between that and Grand Theft Auto.
Yes.
Which, you know, exactly. When roommate Bear and I were playing, we used to just laugh about the fact that when we went to get in our cars, we would have the instincts to just go, you know, this is going too slow. Let's go around, you know.
Absolutely.
I mean, it was...
Yeah,
it was,
I would remember those moments of you're like, oh, you know, just get the gritted teeth.
Yeah.
Like,
I think the it's a good example of irresponsible journalism. Admittedly, it's extolling a point that I would like to see put forward, but I don't agree with their methodology.
I would like to see what they did when World of Warcraft lagged because there were too many people on it and see how those people reacted.
See how many people went German school child on that?
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah.
Watch now!
My sense would be that when it comes to violence in video games or in movies or in film, that it depends on how realistic it is. You know, hyper-realistic violence. I mean, you know, I don't think anyone really gets that violent after watching Tom and Jerry.
No, I don't believe that there's necessarily a violent reaction, but I do believe that there's a level of desensitivity. I can never say this word. Desensitivity to violence that is appreciable in video games and in television and in movies.
Sure, you know, that's, I'll buy that.
You know,
that,
the fact that, you know, what is it? Like, what was the Will Smith movie? I always do this.
That Will Smith movie?
That Will Smith
the one
movie.
We
the
made?
With the vampires.
What was it?
You know,
Legend?
We're watching him blow off human heads all day long.
They look like balloon animals.
Right.
Like
everybody reacted over was, oh my God, the dog died.
The big thing I'm really not concerned... Well, the dog was real.
But that happens all the time. I mean, you guys remember Castle Wolfenstein, the original, or Castle Wolfenstein 3D.
Ach du lieber!
Well... You know, you ran around, you blew away humans, hundreds of them, and then there was a scene.
Nazis, so that's okay.
Well, I guess so. But then when the German Shepherd showed up, everyone went apeshit.
Yeah.
Parent organizations went crazy because you were shooting dogs.
Right, like, because they're desensitized to human.
They're Nazi dogs.
Right.
Well, I also want to point out, though, in terms of I Am Legend, that there's a difference. When you were shooting these monsters that were coming at you, we had not developed a relationship to them. They had taken a lot of time to develop the dog and a relationship to the dog. So
right.
That,
okay. Well, you know. Another example. Look at Michael Moore's movie Roger and Me, right? Mm-hmm. In that movie, a woman skins a rabbit. Right in front of Mike as he's doing it.
Good point.
And he brings out, and he said he has received over 100,000 letters about this. Well, this woman is skinning a rabbit to eat it, you know, because she has no money. And he's 100,000 letters over this one rabbit. And he said, nobody has ever sent me a letter over the fact that right before that scene, I have three black men being shot in the street. And nobody has ever sent me one letter about one of them dying.
It's a good point.
You know? So,
that's
we're used to seeing it.
I guess so.
Especially with black men.
I'm still. I understand the correlation to.
It's true. We are. We're used to seeing black men as villains in TV, film, and everything like that. And they're always they're losing. They're getting shot. They're drug dealers. They're going down.
I don't.
It's ridiculous.
Know if
I think it's the type of film you're talking about too. I'm more used to seeing white villains, honestly.
I'm not sure if I'm all in. If I'm. With the violence in movies is making us more violent culture or video games. I don't think I buy that.
Well, you have the Roman viewpoint. Well, we're getting better than the Romans and look at what they used to do.
I'm just saying we have been the same way since the beginning of time. We're not throwing people in with lions. We don't go to public hangings.
Have you been to YouTube lately?
It's different. Life is different, and we are, I think...
I think you're, I disagree.
We hold life.
I think you're both right. I think we hold life way higher than we ever have. I mean, we used to have wars where we would throw people at each other, and that was just the way life was. Now every life that's
I basically think that in America we do because we have a more focused society where somebody is looking over your shoulder.
That's what I'm talking about, America.
Yeah, but if you look, but the fact is that we're a global environment anymore. We're not just America anymore.
But it's
world 3.0. It is tiny environment.
I actually think it's world 4.0, but you know.
I think you're both right in that when you watch these things, it does desensitize you to your entertainment.
Right.
Right? But I'm not 100% in this level. I'm with Aaron. I'm not 100% convinced that desensitization towards your entertainment desensitizes you towards the real world.
Right.
If I saw a man shot on television, you know, probably very minimal reaction. Yeah, right. I agree with you. If I saw a man shot in real life, my pants would get about 6 ounces heavier,
right,
and I would react very differently.
Quite frankly, if I see someone get shot on the news, it freaks me out.
That's true.
There's a
huge difference between a guy getting shot with no blood, not you see him slump on the news, and me seeing, The Punisher where a guy's head explodes.
For me, it depends on the context. If I see someone being shot on the news in the way they usually present it, it's not shocking to me. If I see someone shot in a more realistic documentarian manner of style where I see blood, where I see them hit the floor,
I don't have to see
that gives
blood.
Me context.
But if we can look at a video game, like a flight simulator, and say, all right, this video game has a recognizable effect in terms of our pilots in Iraq. We know that this generation of kids that grew up with video games where they're playing flight simulators, where they're, you know, playing Afterburner over and over again, and we can recognize that their combat missions are 10 to 20% better than the mission.
That's a skill, not a violent thing.
But the act of looking at another person and saying, all right, I've got to pull a trigger as a soldier.
Pulling a trigger at a dot.
Well, right. Matt has.
If you're a soldier on the ground, right? What are you being trained to do?
Yeah, still not a violent culture.
What is the skill in a boot camp that you're being trained to do? To kill another human being.
Matt has 1 point and has missed another. You are correct that video games actually are used to desensitize people towards pulling the trigger.
Okay.
That is true. It is common usage in the military to do that, I believe, I'm correct. However, you are incorrect that specific video games are being used to teach, like Afterburner is not responsible for.
No.
Video game culture is responsible for increased levels of hand-eye coordination. And that applies towards not just piloting aircrafts, but the suspicious lack of surgical video games does not explain the increased abilities of our modern day surgeons, which has also been acknowledged because of video games.
Okay.
Just pointing that out.
I just, you know, for example, I think the Middle East right now is a very violent culture.
Right.
And I guarantee if you look at their television and their video games, they're nothing like our television video
games. Or you look at Japan and they're much more violent and everything like that. But they have, but they're culturally, you know, so repressed that they have much less, you know, violence and stuff like that.
I don't know.
But I think you both have a point here. I think that Aaron has a great point in saying, look, if you want to say that video games make people more violent, that you would expect, people would expect then that we would have one of the most violent eras ever. Okay, that we would live in a world of hyperviolence compared to any other time in history.
Mm-hmm.
And yet, Aaron has made a great point in saying that if you look back in history, there are times where we have seen much more brutality, much more violence, and much less sensitivity to human life.
Yeah, and I believe
at the same time, I think you also have a point in saying that our society has developed to the point where it's gotten so sophisticated where we have a sensitivity to the value of human life. But at the same time, there is some truth that those values that we have developed are still influenced by video games to some degree.
Right. But also the value of human life and if somebody will catch me doing it, we know people, they don't do that bad behavior as much. If I'm going to be caught, I won't do it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the thing in America. My problem is that...
Do you think the reason why we're not even more violent is because we might get caught?
Yes.
Well, you're afraid
Wait.
Ramifications, repercussions.
That
repercussions.
Is a reason.
Yeah.
Not the
and
reason,
societally,
but a reason.
America has been built up so, you know, we don't do that. That is something that we don't do. It's not that the urges aren't there. It's not that, you know, you don't look at a movie like Jesus Camp and see, oh my God, you know what? If we gave these people free license to do what they're saying, what they're espousing, they would go off and do it. They would be just as bad.
I think there's some extreme people who would do that, but I think our society works because we want it to work, not because we don't think we're not going to get away with it. I think in general, the reason why this world works the way it does is because we want it. I think that it keeps – it's
right. No, that's an expectation. But look, there are not enough police to police Los Angeles. But right. I still have an expectation that if I shoot somebody, somebody's going to catch me.
But that's not the reason why you don't shoot people when you get angry.
I think it's, well, please tell me now. No, but I think that in extreme cases,
and
that
how many people do you know? No, but you see, in your life, but, do you think that is being held back only because they might get caught?
Well, they're being held off not necessarily because a policeman is going to catch them, but because they have an ingrained societal.
Could you please write those names of the people?
Well,
that you
no,
know
but you
down.
You've never had that. Oh my God, I'm going to hit something right now. But because your mother, your father, your society has basically told you that does not happen.
But Aaron's Aaron's making a good point, and you're validating his point. Aaron's point was your first point was that people don't do things because they might get caught.
Right.
Aaron's point is, no, that's not true. People don't do things because we've been taught to have morals. Okay? We've been taught that...
But that is a fear of getting caught.
No.
It's that fear
no,
of
no,
mom
no,
or whoever,
no,
you know.
No,
I disagree.
That's not true. That's not true. If I know I would not get caught doing something, there are still things I would not do. If I walk along and I find somebody's wallet mm-hmm. and they just dropped it, okay?
But
and
it's also a level of morality.
Okay. But you see, that you're making my point. You are making my point right now. You're agreeing with
me. You've
my
never
point.
Snitched a grape from a grocery store or taken the extra parking space
That's
in front of somebody or whatever. It's a level of morality. And okay. the thing about video games is that they desensitize you to the level of morality that you're going to do. And when you have somebody – wait. And when you have somebody who's a sick mind like the guy who went on a shooting rampage in North Virginia and then everybody's saying, you know, he's playing these aggressive video games, if you already have that deranged mentality – then it can act as a trigger. Yes, I believe it can.
Okay, but you're jumping from one point to another. You're mishmashing
arguments. Okay, semantically,
arguments.
Fine. What's your point?
No, I mean, I'm just saying you're making one point and then you're making another point and saying that all these points are the same point when they're not. They're just not the
I
same
think,
point.
I think you're both arguing points that
you're saying that
here.
Because you stole a grape, you know, it's the same thing as this guy going off and shooting people.
No, I'm saying it's a level. I'm saying it's a level.
No.
I'm saying
you
it's
can't
a level.
Use hold on, that, hold on. Wait, whoa,
put those two things together.
Whoa,
they just don't
Peter,
work.
You are misrepresenting what he's saying. What Matt, I believe, if I'm correct, what Matt is saying is there are certain goalposts that we have that demarcate our point of morality.
Yes.
Yes, it's okay for me to steal a grape. To sample the grape to see if this is a product I want to buy.
Right.
Right? Yes, it's okay for me to scooch in front of that person who's going for that parking space because he's young, he's got a Ferrari and a beautiful woman next to him, and fuck you, the parking space is mine. But the farther you move that demarcation, the farther away from societal norm it gets set, the farther away the easier it is for you to penetrate that goal to achieve
right.
something
truly
awful.
So you're saying that video games and television stuff is moving those goal posts.
Yeah, look, yesterday I'm driving in traffic and Kat's to the left of me in her car, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, we're there and I'm like frustrated the hell with traffic.
Mm-hmm.
And Kat's there. And if it had not been Kat,
mm-hmm.
I would have gone directly like cut right into that tiny little space and gone around the car in front of me.
Mm-hmm.
But because I knew my wife would
he
come
would
at me later,
mm-hmm.
was... I went, you know what? I don't want to do this, you know, because she's going to yell at me later.
Mm-hmm.
Now, now that's where my goalpost was for that individual scenario.
And do you think if you played enough, like Grand Theft Auto, watch even more violent television?
Not me,
post?
But there are people who are already on that edge.
Mm-hmm.
And if you push them to that edge, yes, they can go farther.
Okay, now again, the Mary Sunshine moment here. Again, I don't think you guys are arguing mutually exclusive points.
No,
you're
not
both saying that these are the things that will motivate people.
Mm-hmm.
You're both failing to take into consideration morality is the carrot, right? And punishment is the stick.
Mm-hmm.
You know, these are both coexisting things in both of us.
Okay.
So if your sense of morality is high enough,
Sorry. Obviously, God.
This conversation is done. Thank you.
God obviously agrees with Don's point.
So, on the one hand, you have an innate moral force, right? Mm-hmm. That guides you in telling you what is correct, and when you do the correct thing, is self-rewarding, I believe. Okay, whether you want believe in karma or whether you believe it's just that good feeling you get, it doesn't matter. Morality is a guiding force for every individual, and the consensual morality that society builds is a guiding force for society.
Right.
I think that's a fair thing to say. Mm-hmm. On the other hand, punishment is the flip side of the coin. Yeah. If you step outside your morality, you don't just have to fear your own internal punishment system. There's an external one in place to enforce societal morality.
Okay, so to follow along with that, I believe that video games in certain ways weaken our ability to discern that I'm going to get punished for this act.
Okay, let me clarify something there. They can. Depends on the video game. It depends. Right. And it depends.
Absolutely.
And
absolutely.
It depends on how the video game is designed.
Absolutely.
I don't believe that playing Top Gun, you know, or you know, Iran-Contra makes people go out and kill people.
No.
I don't think it really makes them that much more violent. But I do think that Grand Theft Auto...
Because you felt that impulse.
I'm going to put out that I think that you're correct. These things do increase aggression. They do increase, you know, bad driving. But in a limited short-term way. I don't believe in any stretch of the imagination that playing Grand Theft Auto is going to change my long-term driving habits.
Well, let me put it a different way. Okay, because I think you're making a point.
And I've been slapping my hose before I played that game.
Really? Let's go ask Maureen about that. It might be the other way around. But no, I think that it depends. It's an influence while you use it, and I do think that it could have long-term impacts. It just depends on the person. Because what we're talking about is influences, okay? And if you have a lot of influences pushing you in a certain direction, you're going to be moved. And some of those – sometimes they will be short-term movements like what you're talking about. But other times, if you play a lot of driving games, you know, I think that eventually you will train yourself to drive or have certain instincts. I mean,
so you're agreeing with my point now.
Well, you never quite understood what I was saying. That's actually the real problem.
Okay.
What I was saying was, yeah.
Damn that real problem.
Yeah, there you go. No, what I was always saying was this. I was saying that when people say that violent video games make people violent, okay, that's not a true statement. Okay. It has elements of truth. But it is not encompassing. That there are a lot of violent video games you can play that will have absolutely no...
But nothing is an absolute truth.
Yeah, no one's saying... I mean, most of those people are saying there are certain video games that make you go violent. Yeah. Obviously, they're not talking about Pac-Man.
And usually they say they make certain people more violent.
Well, again, I just said violent video games, and Pac-Man's not a violent video game, okay?
You eat things.
And eating is violent.
You devour ghosts.
When I ate my breakfast, it was a violent act.
We should wrap this up, so everyone should state their last statement
here. But my point was this, that... People do say that violent video games, they do say it in an encompassing manner, and they say it a lot. We see it in the media all the time. Violent video games are evil, okay? Mm-hmm. And yet there are certain violent video games that you play, and they're just not – they don't have that type of impact on me. They don't train me in a certain way. They're so divorced from reality that I don't interpret them in any realistic way, okay?
I just believe that in using the word that you just used, that it is training. And anytime you are talking about children who are very spongy minds anyway, training themselves 6 to 10 hours a day, and in extreme cases, that kid already had a mental defect, and he's in a society where he's getting a lot of things flashed at him, that those things do have a discernible effect.
Yes, but wait, I'm not, I wasn't. Give me a second to finish this.
Okay.
You again, you're going to the extreme. You say a person that's an extremely, you know...
Right. Well, I'm not worried about the kid in the wheelchair. I'm worried about somebody who owns, you know, who's going to come after me with a gun and who's got, a societal, spring loose in his head.
Okay, all right, last statement.
I'm trying to finish my last statement.
You guys are arguing.
Shut the
fuck up. You're arguing.
Yeah, because he won't let me finish my statement.
All right, finish it, Peter. Okay. Jesus.
So the point is, though, that games that are more realistic, I mean, kids will tell you. They'll say, that's not real. That's make-believe. They know the difference, even in violence. Okay, they will say that. But when it comes to something that's super violent, like, again, Grand Theft Auto, because it is the extreme, it's the one that we have out there, I totally do believe that will have an impact on someone. Okay?
Okay.
But I don't believe that you can say that it's an all-encompassing or that it's even a huge impact. Most people have enough extra stuff in the world that combats that. They've got their morality. They've got real life.
Yeah.
Okay. I think that everything that's being said against video games has been said about, at one point, secular music, about secular writing, about movies, about television, about whatever popular culture the new generation is engaging in that the old one didn't and can't quite grasp. I think that the reflection of violence that we see in video games is the same reflection we've seen in every other art form, and it pushes the boundaries in exactly the same way that every other art form tries to do.
Rite of spring.
And I think crazy is as crazy does, and crazy will find its own outlet. Whether if that video game isn't available, then they're going to find another methodology to try and catch her in the rye. You know, for some reason, Catcher in the Rye keeps getting found in every presidential assassin. Metallica. All of these things have been accused. And to say that, and I'm not saying this is what anyone here has said, to try and ban access to that one media form for everyone because one or two people
and
may
I'm not
be
saying
made destructive.
Yeah, he, yeah.
I just pointed that out. I said that very explicitly and even looked at you.
What? They can't see your look.
They can't hear your look. He's in World 3.0. We're in World 2.0.
All
the
right.
Problem.
Cut it out.
To try and hamper access to any media or any art form because of the damage it may do to an extreme minority is almost the definition of hampering free speech.
I think that's a really good point because otherwise it would be like, let's get rid of Catcher in the Rye. You know, no more presidential assassins.
Woohoo.
And no Metallica.
Look, I can't even remember where we
let's
started.
Move on. Let's
Who's news story?
Can I make one final point? Look, it's just if you listen. No,
I didn't even do a closing statement.
All right. If only you could see Aaron's look.
If you look at there's a Radiolab podcast on musical language, and the first time the Rite of Spring was played, the audience rioted. Literally rioted, bloody riot, beat each other to a pulp. And this is an upper crusty, amazing audience. Beat each other to a pulp. A year later, they carried the composer out on their shoulders. 20 years later, that became Disney music in Fantasia, right? Mm-hmm. Whatever the initial reaction is to certain things, our physiology can't handle it. And certain people in extreme situations do react to that physiology. And I'm just saying, as video games become more and more realistic, as we find things to represent real life, and that is the trend, we have more and more of an opportunity to do harm. And I think we just need to watch it. That's all
I'm
saying.
Or they just turn it into a Disney movie. All right. We should cut down our news stories here because that was long.
Whose story was that that got us into that? I completely lost track.
Matt's video game.
No, my video game.
Your video game.
My own damn story. Sorry.
It was me. I did it.
I'm just going to quickly put out two. These are just announcements. Well, one's an announcement. There's a Name of the Rose video game coming. Or, sorry, not name video game. Name of the Rose board game being developed.
Cool. Really?
Based off of the book.
Do you get to walk around the library?
Well, there is like...
It's like Clue, but with sodomy.
Well, no. There, the game Mysteries of the Abbey is like Clue. With sodomy. But this one...
You're not
is
enough
gonna,
choir boys.
No.
This one sounds
You're
like
going
it's going
to hell.
This one sounds like it's going to play different. It's not going to be like Clue. It may be a terrible game, but it's just an interesting idea of, you know, wandering around an abbey and accusing other players of, you know, murder, whatever. And then the last thing is I have a link to an article about this person who wrote... About this isn't really new. About how the Illuminati card game, the one that came out in '95, which the collectible one, predicted 9/11, and he has each card as an example. It's interesting, a little out there, but it's pretty interesting.
Okay, I want to
including
see that
pictures of the Twin Towers getting blown up in the exact same spot that's on the card. I have the cards, and I remember that. That's
we've totally got to do a Geeks on Conspiracies.
Yeah.
We have to do a Geeks on Conspiracies.
So anyway, that's my two Nord's articles.
We don't every week?
Nord. That's true.
So we often think about how much water we use. I mean, you take a long shower and you go, okay, you know, that person's using a lot of water.
Actually, I literally thought that last night.
But we don't often think about how much water we use when we have a cup of coffee. We think, oh, you know, that's a cup of water to make a cup of coffee. Well, a scientist named John Anthony Allen of the University of London in Britain, won the Stockholm 2008 Stockholm Water Prize on one day for coming up with something called virtual water. Now, virtual
just,
water.
Just add air. You know our
just add water.
Just add
our April Fool's thing is done.
Is done. Right? Virtual water is not what it sounds like. It's not the idea that it's not real water. What right. it is virtual water is actually the amount of water used to produce a product.
Huh.
So, okay. For example, when it comes to that cup of coffee we were talking about, there you go. When it comes to that cup of coffee, 140 liters of water are consumed to grow, produce, package, and ship the beans to where it's going. Okay. Now, when it comes to a hamburger, for a single hamburger, an estimated 2,400 liters of water are used for that. So 140 for a cup of coffee, 2,400 for a hamburger.
Wow.
Now, this is fascinating. This is great because water is becoming a scarce resource. It is becoming a big issue. So
clean water.
Any water.
Potable water.
Well,
potable.
We're not losing potable water, are we?
Well,
on the planet?
Yeah, okay, clean water.
Keep problem. In mind, you know, a drinkable water is a fixed replenished resource. If you start drinking it at a faster rate than it's being replenished by the planet, it's a problem, and that's what we're doing.
Right.
Donald clean Marshall water. Attended an agricultural school.
I did.
All right, so keep going.
So anyways, I just think that this is a really fascinating thing that he determined. You know, that 140 liters of water for that cup of coffee is about as much water as a person in England uses on average for all daily drinking and household needs.
Yeah.
And well, so this is a great
point. People don't realize that eating meat is a far greater strain on our planet. And I'm a meat eater.
Yeah, I was like,
far
well,
greater
you're
strain
really
on our planet there. Than driving a fucking big rig around.
Hmm.
By far.
Mm-hmm.
And yet,
what
no
if
one
you
wants
drive
to
a big rig and you eat meat?
That's yeah. If you're eating a burger while driving Humvee, a big rig, you're burning up. But people like people want to talk about you know our oil dependencies and driving big cars on that you know cutting out that part of it. But mm-hmm. no one wants to bring up the fact that it takes way more oil, water, resources, and land and everything to eat a to have a burger.
Oh, when are we coming? Speaking of which, when are we coming over for steaks? To your house?
We'll grill up some steaks tonight if you want.
I'm on it.
Right on.
Bring over your Humvees and SUVs.
You know what? I'm willing to not flush the toilet when I do number one in order to have that burger.
Okay.
Yeah, I'll contribute.
If it's yellow, flush the toilet for the
if it's yellow,
let it mellow. If it's brown, flush it down.
Exactly.
Wow.
You know,
my parents were hippies.
Based on the fact that you know, some of these numbers, you might have to do that for the rest of your life.
Yeah.
Wow. I'm willing not to flush in order to have those burgers.
All right.
Absolutely.
Oy. I'm not willing. All right. We should move on.
All right. Okay. Well, just one thing. The grid is going to be coming out soon. The grid is basically what scientists are creating right now across the world, which... You know how the internet was originally used as a communication system for scientists? That's what the grid is currently.
Internet too.
And it's going at speeds at about 10,000 times faster than a typical broadband connection. The grid will be able to send the entire Rolling Stones back catalog from Britain to Japan in less than 2 seconds. So they're really, really, and they're basically talking about being able to send holographic information and a bunch of other things because they're really trying to increase these speeds like now, crazy. And it's already in place. They're just got to.
Didn't
flip the switch.
Didn't I hear? I seem to recall that they did that because of what is that super collider or whatever it is that people are fighting not to.
Like, the one in Sweden, I think it is.
Yeah, it's about to go online, isn't it?
Yeah, there's a sort of a if I'm understanding the science correctly,
yeah.
it's a myth that it may create a black hole if it's turned on.
Actually, from what I heard. There's an infinitesimal chance that it will create something, and the chances are that if it does create it, it will collapse immediately and not exist. On the other hand, the alternate argument is that you never know, and maybe there's a reason that we've never found any intelligent life out in the universe and not been visited by aliens.
Yeah, because we keep creating black holes.
We keep on destroying ourselves.
I'm just giving you info from NPR, I admit. Yeah, I have nothing to cite.
Yeah.
I think I remember reading that the collider to actually have a chance to create the black hole they're talking about would have to be the size of the solar system.
Well, interesting.
I was hearing the guy talk about it, and it was fascinating to me, but also really, really frightening. Because he was like, we have some theories about what these things, but we actually need to run them in a physical environment. And, you know, slamming these two particles together at light speed is the first time it's ever going to happen. And I was, oh, boy.
Yeah.
Hey.
Interesting.
And some portal's going to open up and shit's going to start pouring out.
Brah!
We're in our Mr. own video Freeman. Game! Gordon Freeman?
And last but not least, we do have to give a quick nod of the head, tip of the hat, to Mr. Charlton Heston, who did pass on this week.
Yes.
He is a geek icon. He gave us such lines as, get your hands off me, you damn dirty ape! And it's made of people. Soylent Green is people.
I don't know any quotes. Spoiler alert.
Also do,
yeah.
I don't know any. Also say, pry it out of my cold, dead hands.
Yes, yeah. He did. I actually heard somebody very off color say, I wonder if they did.
But I don't.
Oh.
Fox News went off on that for a long time.
Did they really?
Yeah. But regardless of whether or not you agree with his later in life politics or his politics throughout his life, I have no idea. He was a contributor to geek culture and geek quotations everywhere.
Yes.
And we thank you for that, Mr. Heston.
Thank you,
and
Mr. Heston.
Wish you happy trails on your next journey.
Excellent.
Which is hopefully not to a planet inhabited by apes.
Wouldn't that suck?
Yeah.
Charlton Heston dies. He wakes up and he's like, you have got to be freaking kidding me.
Guess what? Neither damned nor dirty.
All right, let's move on.
Did you ever see the Charlton Heston Saturday Night Live thing where Phil Hartman played Charlton Heston reading Madonna's sex book?
Yeah,
no.
And he's sitting there in the voiceover booth going, sometimes I like to stare at myself in the mirror and touch my vagina.
Yeah,
Charlton Heston reading Madonna's sex book.
This has been a really dirty episode.
Yes.
Flash Gordon is going to come totally whoop us.
And by the way, we got a review on iTunes.
Right.
Our one bad review is a man, I think it was his name was Christian Jedi, which So he was pissed that he thought he was going to get a family friendly show, and there were two F-bombs, and
we put explicit ratings.
That's what he says, and there was no explicit rating. And the reason why you can put a report. I reported. I said, listen, I don't mind negative reviews of our show if you just don't like the show, but there's incorrect information here. Whenever we swear or something, we put an explicit tag on there for iTunes. So he's just wrong. So, you know, if you don't like the show out there, you know, I got it. Go post a review that says it's a shitty, you know, just make sure the information's correct.
Okay.
Not like we do that on our show.
Right.
We
never.
We are always correct.
Yeah. So
talking about.
We're so right. It hurts.
But by the way, if you do like the show, those type of things on iTunes and other websites really help us out. And they're also fuel to our egos. We don't get paid in any other way besides comments. So go out there and write.
Pats on the back. Like
that, we love the comments we get, by the way. The emails we get are from... We have the most awesome listeners.
We have the smartest forums I've seen.
Yeah, it's too smart. They keep calling us on our shit, so...
That's true.
Well, I mean, that's part of the reason why we do what we do, though, is to learn new things, and it's great. I mean, it's really fascinating to have
resource. One thing we're probably going to do... We haven't discussed this. I'm sort of suggesting it right now. Maybe we should come up with a sticky in our forums where people... Just constantly posting places where they can... give us positive reviews. So if someone comes on and they just want to give us some plugs, they can go to this one specific spot and find all the links to our
reviews.
That's a
great idea. All right. Sounds good.
Yes. So what's our topic?
We got a letter this week from a listener named Jean-Francois, and he offered a topic suggestion, which we found fascinating. Here's the letter. My topic suggesting the International House of Geek. Or actually, are geeks more open to ideas coming from other cultures than their own, than the rest of the population in general? Like, for example, many geeks have watched animes from Japan, wushu movies from China, comedies from Britain, board games from Germany, comic books from Belgium, vampire movies from Russia, and video games from Canada. And he smiles at that because he's from Canada. So
he's actually a video game designer.
Is he really?
Well, in the professional.
Right. So do you think that this is a geek phenomenon? And if so, why is it? And what are things that you enjoy that come from outside of America?
Does he work at Ubisoft?
I think we should probably keep his location discreet.
Oh.
Though I did notice they have like 50,000 Jean Philippe's over there.
Jean-François.
All
right, so are geeks more international in their tastes or acceptance?
I think that also begs the question is whether or not geeks have been the harbingers of World 4.0. What are we saying?
Yeah. Let's just move it to 5.0 to clear out all the other 4.0s.
4.0A.
I don't think there's much of a question that we're more willing to... I think geeks are more willing to take a look at something that's in a foreign language, for example.
Actually, I don't really agree with this. I don't think this is a geek
thing. I have an impression of mainstream culture where, you know, the foreign film is not a huge success in the United States.
Yeah.
And we should probably add the disclaimer, we are definitely talking about American geeks here because this is what we know.
Right.
You know, like, we don't know how a geek in France lives. I'm sorry.
That's a very good point.
How dare you?
Or the otaku.
If you are more international, you might know.
Or the otaku in Japan or anything.
Exactly.
Right.
But the fact that we do know that they're called otaku.
I have a feeling that Japan is actually...
More international? Worse.
No. The exact opposite.
More insular?
Yeah. In fact, I think they're known for being that way.
Well, actually, I know that Japan... I mean, if you go over there, some of the things that, like, for example, an American geek would collect Japanese... You know, anime. I mean, if you go over to Japan, they have a fascination with the West. I mean, they have hotels that you can go to that are
Western themed.
And I mean,
I'll take that.
You ain't joking about the Western themes, like.
But you know, even things like video games. I mean, they will not play a Western video game. Period.
Well, that's because they suck, and we know that too.
What's that?
That's because they suck, and we know that too.
Are you kidding me?
They don't play Halo.
The best video games come out in Western video games.
They don't play Halo.
Mass Effect. In fact, name the last Japanese game you loved.
Shut up, Aaron.
But wait.
Exactly.
Aaron, I'm curious. You really believe they don't play Halo or Mass Effect?
They do not.
Is it period?
I don't know. I want some proof.
I'd like to see some evidence. PlayStation 2s sold last month than Xbox 360s in Japan? So that's a game system.
I'm not sure, though. Just to step in on that, I'm not entirely sure if that's a geek statement or a sort of a national unity statement. I know the Japanese consumer tends to purchase Japanese products over foreign products in general. So that may just be spilling over into their video game console purchases.
So then does that then apply to American? Which, I mean, because America is a culture.
America doesn't.
Well, what we do is we export our culture, correct? You know,
That's our number one export.
But we also take culture stuff from all around the world and incorporate it into our culture and then... regurgitated as ours.
I think that's very true. I mean, look at American food. You know, American food, there's very little in American food that you could really consider American. Almost all of it has its roots in another style of cuisine.
Right.
Sure.
You know?
Yeah. I mean, it's actually very normal to go out and eat different cuisines. I mean, you know...
Like, when was the last time you went and had, like, I'm trying to remember, like, an American...
Yeah, what would that
house
be?
House of Pies. I mean, that was the last time I did it.
But can a diner really
consider
that? Yeah, but
sandwiches and french fries, you know, that's not really American, you know?
I don't...
It's pomfrit.
Well, I mean...
pomfrit.
You know, but the point
right,
is...
So let's go back to the point, which is the geek viewpoint of all this.
So is it just because we're more into geek culture now, and therefore...
Well, I have a theory about this.
Okay.
Which is to say, and we've talked about this before, that there's something called neophobes... and neophiles, meaning neophobes are people who do not like things that are new. Mm-hmm. Okay, so for example, my brother, you know, he eats the same thing all the time. It's like turkey sandwiches. That's what he eats. He'll eat that every day.
Right.
He could eat that every day for the rest of his life, and he will be happy. Okay?
Right. Wow.
And you know, he doesn't
like Elvis.
He doesn't eat fruits. You know, he doesn't eat vegetables. He doesn't like them. You know, that's just the way he is. Okay.
Those newfangled fruits.
Watch him, and you're like, you eat well and you do Tai Chi. Watch your brother live to like 186.
Entirely possible. but the point is, there are some people who they find what they like.
Right.
And that's what they like, and that's what they do. And they do the same thing over and over and over again.
Yeah, right. It's fine.
Then there are neophiles, which are people who like the new.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And these are people who, you know, when they go into a restaurant and they see something that they have never heard of, that's what they're going to eat. Doesn't matter if it's something that they think is the most tasty thing on the menu. Mm-hmm. It's, I've never had that before. That's what I'm going to eat.
Right.
Okay. Now, you know, once they've eaten everything, they may pick the thing that, you know, they know what everything is. They're going to pick what they like.
Right.
You know, but if there's something new, they've got to try it. Okay. Now, I think the geeks are more likely to be neophiles. They're the people that like the new things. And I think they also tend to be collectors. I think these are the two things that are the defining things of geeks. They like things that are new. They want to try new things. And they want to collect things. And I think that they maybe come from the same place. Because like I just said, you know, if you're a collector, you want one of everything.
Okay. And if no matter where it's from.
Right. And if you're a geek, if you're someone who wants to try the new thing, in a weird way, you are collecting. Okay. If you go into a restaurant and on the menu there's something you've never tried before, you have to collect that taste.
Sure. I had a very brief moment where I decided I'm going to go to every new restaurant in New York. And they opened up so fast that it was like I gave up literally after a week.
I'm just wondering, though, you know, I'm just real quickly, you know, our definition in the past of geek is someone who has an interest that falls kind of outside the social norm. Okay. And I think what's going on, it's not like geeks are out there seeking these things that are international. I think what happens is there's someone who becomes interested in German board games and boom, they're a geek. Because they're interested in German board games. So it happens after the fact. You know, I like this this Japanese cartoon stuff. Boom, you're a geek. You can't get out of it.
What do you mean? Because
it's foreign? I mean, someone who likes Disney doesn't fall into that category.
An interest outside the social norm. And suddenly you're considered a geek.
Then you make
the statement, why are geeks all international?
There's a lot of spillover, though. Like, a lot of people who like anime like German board games. You know, there is a crossover there. I'm not saying everyone does. Mm-hmm. But what I would combine with Peter's earlier statement is not just the desire for something new, not just the desire to collect, but a certain degree of voraciousness. Right. Mm-hmm. Of constantly wanting more. Right. And in the case of, you know, cartoons, I'll bet I can't say for sure that a lot of people who really like anime probably really like American cartoons too. Mm-hmm. And probably hit the point where they found all the American cartoons they liked. And then, oh, there's a whole new world of cartoons. This Japanese stuff is awesome. Mm-hmm. And then they become voracious about that and are moving to embrace and absorb all of that.
But not to make it too actory, but mm-hmm. there's also an ineffable quality to geeks. I can walk into a room who the geek is. And I know from talking to that person for 10 minutes, if I get like, oh, you like Star Wars. Oh, you like this. Oh, you like that. I can literally say, oh, you should read this book and I know they will like it. Yeah. You should try this board game and I know they will like it. And that's a very, very specific geek trait that you know that I can tick off these things that I've done that I've really enjoyed. And because we share similar traits, they're going to like those exact same things.
And if I may add to that, I think there are degrees of geekiness, okay, which is to say that, for example, if you walk into Lisa Lasik's house,
yes,
you know that she's pretty geeky because she has collected.
You're so polite.
Well, Look, this is why we connect.
Right.
You know,
oh, absolutely.
We're all geeks and yes. we connect on this. Yeah. But you walk into her house and she's geeky because her geek interests are encompassing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if I walk into someone's house and they have a comic collection, okay, that's interesting. They've got some geek tendencies. Mm-hmm. If I walk into someone's house and they have comic collections and they have movie collections, they're a little more geeky. If I walk into Lisa Lasik's house, she's got a comic collection. She's got a movie collection. Mm-hmm. She's got a video game collection. She's got like board game collection.
And miniatures.
And she's got a miniature collection. That's geeky.
Yeah.
Right.
So there's degrees to it. And so someone who, for example, might have a collection, but it's a single collection, mm-hmm. you know, and it might be something like, you know, that seems less geeky on the surface, mm-hmm. like you know, trading cards for baseball.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're going to go, okay, but they're collecting something, but it's not the degree of geekiness.
Right. Well, my ex and I, you know, we went out on this date and both of us were sort of sussing each other out. And I can't remember. I had asked her, you know, what was the last book she read? And she said it was George R. R. Martin's Game of Thrones or something like that. And I remember myself going, really? And just becoming like, suddenly I was Scooby-Doo and like very excited over this book thing. And we became instantly connected because
Movie
we
snatch?
Knew, oh, well, here's your tick, here's my tick. We have this distinctly in common. Because
do you guys feel like, though, you guys have a lot of... Like, I'm trying to think about my geeky stuff, and I don't feel like I'm... I don't think I'm as much of an international geek then.
I think you're an incredibly international geek.
I think we hit our hot spots.
Like, I play German board games, but I play the American versions.
You do the same thing. You don't play them in German because you don't speak German. That's
right, I don't feel like I'm getting anything international out of those games.
Okay, but let me put it this way. When you see... what's the game of the year tag?
The Spiel des Jahres.
Spiel des Jahres, right? When you see that tag on a game, you buy it.
And what's funny is if you watch Aaron's face right now, he's got this little smile he's trying to fight. He's like, you saw this little spark, like a light in his eye, and a little bit of love, like his heart opened up a little bit.
We should have talked about Zuloretto.
You know, but here's what my thinking is. We, as geeks, seek for something new consistently. But it's not sort of a scattershot thing.
No.
We're always looking for something new, and then as soon as we find one specific thing we like, then we latch onto that, and then we lay into it. And think of it as hitting a gold vein, right? You're not going to keep, I found a gold vein. I just got a pound of gold from there. I'm going to ignore the rest of this gold vein and go look for other ones. No, that's not how it works. So, like, when I find anime... Oh, I like this.
Very true.
This thing is cool. What other types of anime will I like? So for me, for example, I had heard of anime. I saw Akira. I was like, well, this is interesting. Mm-hmm. This is interesting. I'm not sold yet. And then I rented Record of the Lotus War. And then I was in. Right? Okay, I love this stuff. What's this Legend of the Overfiend? Let's bring that home and share that with all my roommates.
Oh.
Ooh, okay, no. Bad vein. You know, it's probably a bad example. But... My point is,
I was the same way with Robotech, you know, and then I moved on to something different.
I see it as sort of a cultural version of the space elevator effect, right?
What do you mean?
Your first attempt is difficult, right?
Okay.
You're the very first step of getting access to this foreign material is difficult, is strange, and the route may be very roundabout. But once the space elevator is up, right, then access to everything else of that vein, of outer space, becomes so much easier, right? So for when you discover Faulty Towers,
right,
it's not that hard to find Red Dwarf. It's not that hard to find all of these other amazing Britcoms.
Just to play devil's advocate, because I agree with you. On the other side of it, isn't there, because geeks are collectors, when you're a collector, you're looking for a quality product. And because we're in a more international environment now due to the internet, due to just the nature of our interconnections, that where you're finding the quality product in your global village is in Germany. It happens to be, you know, the best board games are in Germany. The best anime that you're finding is in Japan.
Well, I think different cultures take different things seriously. You know, and the American culture, I'm sorry, guys, we don't take board games seriously. It's not part of our mass culture. It's seen as being geeky and stupid and, you know, something little kids do. Yeah. Germans don't see that. So without and
same thing with cartoons.
Right. Cartoons,
like, kids watch cartoons.
And in Japan, it's
puppetry. Okay, puppetry in other places in the world. Some of these puppet theaters,
Bunraku,
put out some of the most amazing.
Bunraku is remarkable,
earth-shaking work. Mm-hmm. But again, it's seen as childish in the United States. Not part of our culture. You know, the sitcom in the United States is seen as sort of a lowest common denominator in general, right? So our sitcoms tend to be sort of broad comedy. Britcoms, again, I'm speaking in very broad generalizations here. The Britcom tends to be a little bit more sophisticated, a little, Benny Hill aside, you know. So I think a more intelligent person who wants comic entertainment may tend to discover the Britcom. And
so do you think
that
that's why geeks tend to drift towards Britcoms and Monty Python and Hugh Laurie.
I think it appeals to the one, you know, again, overly generalizing. I think geeks tend to be a little bit brighter than the average bulb.
Okay.
So I think the sitcoms that are a little bit more intricate. Now, I'm not necessarily saying smarter. That was probably the wrong word. But intricate.
I'll say smarter.
Strong, you know, stronger structure. A farce. You know, I think a lot of Americans who aren't into a complicated comedy would never appreciate a farce. You know? So, you know, they tend to, you have to go to England for that.
Hmm.
Interesting.
Well, you're you're a Black Adder fan. I mean, have you watched Red Dwarf? I mean, you're very selective about what you like in terms of things.
I'm not saying I don't embrace, but I think as much as everybody.
Right. Well, I think I have a hard time finding patterns for you. I don't entirely know what your vein is.
Yes. Like, I know a lot of people who aren't geeks who have almost just as much international interests than I do. They just form, you know, they're just in different ways. Sports and, you know, books and movies and...
But, I mean, like, if you look at...
French, you know, love films.
If you look at sports geeks in America, we are very sport geek about our American sports, and we scoff at all of the rest of it.
Yeah.
You know, geeks, as much as we have our very insular American things that we love, we also tend to embrace these other things.
And again, you know, it's the degree of geekiness, again, right, to bring that back. I mean, you know, all people have something they love.
Mm-hmm.
Geeks tend to take that to a more extreme.
Right.
And they tend to have a more encompassing range of things that they're interested in.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. All righty. Excellent. Well, we do have a bit. We do have one more thing. We got another interview this week.
Yeah, I think we pissed him off the last time he was on the show, so he's been away for quite some time.
Yeah. Right, but we did get another interview, and this one wasn't over Skype. I wasn't sure exactly the method in which this was captured.
It was like he sent this card over. We're supposed to read this card to invoke him? Something like that.
Yeah, something like that.
Hang on, let me find it. What's that? Oh, here. All right.
All right. Start the summoning. Light that candle first, Aaron, and don't.
What's in that jar?
Wait, yeah, no. Don't cross the chalk line because that's the bad thing.
All right, and right, Peter, move out of the star.
Okay, got it. Okay.
Geekus, Spiritus, Geekus, Sanctus.
Welcome, your Prince of Darkness, Highness, fellow guy. You haven't been here in a while.
Thank you. Yes, I've been away for a long, long time. The 405 goes down to the 7th level of hell right past Marina Del Rey, and I was stuck for a while behind an SUV.
Oh.
Anyway, I'm feeling better now. Let's go on.
Well, we have a letter here for you. It says, if I may read it for you.
All right.
Dear Demon Lord.
Yes.
So what's the deal with hentai? Are you behind the Japanese animated tentacle porn stuff? Sincerely, Tentacle Tom in Toledo.
I'm afraid you've sort of caught me with my pants down here. I'm really not sure what exactly Tom is talking about.
Well, he sent along a DVD with some clips from a series of movies called The Urotsuki Doji, Legend of the Overfiend.
Great title. Great, great title. Like that. Legend. Overfiend. Nice.
Would you like to see it?
Oh, sure. Yes.
Here, I'll pop it in.
Right, hang on. All right.
Cartoons. Let me see. No, I can't say this is one of mine. We don't really get too involved in the entertainment industry. Mostly we're afraid of unions. Besides, when you humans are left to your own devices, you tend to make movies like Catwoman and Battlefield Earth all on your own. Let the Lord of Chaos rule. Why fix it if it's not broken, right? Well, let's see. This cartoon seems harmless enough, and schoolgirls... Gratuitous panty shots, naughty, but not strictly that sort of evil. Is that a squid? Hello, little squid. You're so... Oh, sweet Jesus, Mary, Mother of God! Well, That was unexpected.
Maybe you could explain what you're seeing to the audience.
Sorry, forgot radio, right? Sure, absolutely. We do much worse things than this every day to our tormented souls in my... Oh, my Lord! What? Really? A prehensile 15-foot penis that knocks over buildings? Really?
I think that's supposed to be a demon tentacle he replaced his penis with.
And why did it beat his parents to death with a soup tureen as soon as he put it on?
It's a little hard to follow the plot.
There's a plot?
So it's safe to say this is not one of your works?
No. Oh, for Pete, what is wrong with you people? She looks like a chicken on a penis rotisserie. My... No, this isn't one of... A third tentacle! There is nowhere to put a third... Oh, God.
Ah! Oh! Oh, my God!
Jesus.
Oh!
I stand corrected. No, this is not one of mine. Maybe one of Azazel's. He says, he packs a tentacle like that, but, I think he stuffs. I can't take any more of this, I'm gonna turn it off. It's sort of hypnotic, isn't it? You just kind of watch it.
Here, I'll stop it for you.
No, let's not be hasty. After all, who am I to condemn art?
Well, that's all the time we've got for today.
And can I borrow the DVD?
Sure. Why don't you just take that with you? We're not going to need it anymore.
Oh my God, I've got to show this to the guy in marketing.
Well, thank you so much for attending today.
Where has he been? 405, really?
It goes down past Marina Del Rey. I've been there. When it hits the 90, it's crazy.
I know. I used to live down there.
Well, that concludes yet another episode of GeeksOn.
Yes.
.com.
Another episode. So, if you want to get in on the conversation of all the arguments and bullshit that we...
Yeah, if you think we missed anything, probably.
Yeah, you can go to our website at www.geekson.com. There's a forums there. Lots of people jump on. They argue and yell at each other about...
Use all caps, though, when they're yelling.
They use all caps. It gets crazy. They talk about the topics that we discussed today. It's really great discussion. So go there and add to it. Don't just jump right in. Everyone's friendly. Even when they're yelling at each other, it's all in good fun. I think they're used to it. They're used to getting a good conversation going. Yep. So go there now.
Yes, you can go to our store as well and check out our awesome t-shirts. We have some Geeks On t-shirts in the new basic black.
And if you want to drop us a line directly, you can write us at geeks@geekson.com.
Exactly.
Or Matt, Peter, Don, or Aaron at geeksson.com if you specifically want to yell at one of us.
True.
Yes.
True.
Why is everyone looking at me?
Good reason.
Yes, I've got some board games that we all need to play before next time. Maybe we can do like a whole board game review.
Ooh.
Peter and I did Zooloretto. You were there too. Yeah, so we did Zooloretto, got some other ones. So.
And I got a friend who's a conspiracy theorist, and she's totally willing to come on the show. So, and she's got everything. She's got a one about the Beatles that's crazy.
Perfect. Yeah, I love that kind of show. So. Alrighty, I hope everybody has a good geek week. Bye!
Bye!
Rock it out. Geek it out.